Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's a Tuesday edition of OMF with Lou Merlone.
I hate Nick Castellanos.
Christian Fourier.
I hate Lou Fourier.
And Glenn Ordway.
I can't stand Bill Belichick. I hate the guy.
The Red Sox knocked off the Rays and earned their first win of the season.
J.D. Martinez hits the pesky pole, and the Red Sox lead it 11-2.
We talk to Alex Cora at 2:30.
What do you say if you're poor, right?
I don't know, man.
With Sam Darnold being traded to the Panthers, do you want the Patriots to go after Teddy Bridgewater?
Please, God.
Now it's time for OMF.
It is Lou Merlone's birthday. It's a big one, too.
On EEI.
Happy birthday, you're not special. You're getting older, but now I'm much better. We all want to advance
you.
Wow.
How are you working on your birthday? Huh? How are you working on your birthday?
What do you mean? What else am I going to take the day off?
Let alone your 1 foot in the grave birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
Your halfway there birthday.
You're
almost as old as Glenn's birthday.
You're old,
yes.
Man.
You're 50.
Like two-thirds of the way there. What are you talking
almost,
about?
Halfway you're there. Almost dead. Like everything,
in.
Lou, everything from here on out, it all goes downhill, right?
It's been going downhill
all
for
goes
a
downhill.
While.
Everything starts falling.
It's not bad.
What are you talking about? You ain't even 50 yet.
be there soon enough.
I am not 50. That's all I have to say. I'm young. I'm considered the young one in the group. How about that?
I've been saying this.
When limbs start falling off, like 50 on a tree, good luck.
50 seems really old, unless it's you.
Yeah, it isn't. It isn't really old.
You know, and then you're like,
shouldn't
old.
Take it as old.
No, it ain't old.
Yes, it is.
He's the new, what, 30? Is that what they say?
You know, that's what every 50-year-old says. And every 30-year-old says, 30's the new 20. Man, you know, 50's
the new 40.
Yeah, 40's the new 30.
Yeah.
And you keep going up. 110's the new 90.
Really, it's still 50. What are you saying?
Yeah, it was 50. Nice. So I got Sox gave me a birthday present last night, which was
oh
nice.
My
made
God,
me feel better.
Thank you, Jesus.
And 50. It's not. It's what am I going to do? Take the day off and do what? Sit around my house. What am I going to do? Blow leaves? What am I going to do?
Chase those squirrels.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like it's if on your there are certain days that you should never have to work. This
birthday?
Would be one of them. No, not birthdays in general.
I'm taking my birthday. How about that Friday? I'm taking it Friday. That's my birthday.
So you can take it Thursday.
I'm going to take Thursday off.
I got a little weekend with the boys. The Oxy Posse
get together. Oh, the Oxy Posse is back together.
Yeah, the Oxy Posse this weekend. So I'll take Friday, get a little golf in, watch the Masters.
Sure.
Take naps.
Yeah. This is going to be the Oxy Posse.
So much
with,
to look forward to.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be a Paul Pierce party coming
up. No.
Listen, do not press the live Instagram.
We're going to go live Instagram at about 10:30 on Saturday night. See how that goes.
Wait, just so you know, we're not owned by Disney. So you'll still keep your job. Like Mickey Mouse doesn't work.
I don't know
here.
About that.
Honestly, we'll run your ass out of here on a hard.
Don't fire me for
that.
What you did.
Yeah.
Alex Cora is going to join us at 2:30. He'll be with us all season long. It's usually on a Wednesday. We're doing it on a Tuesday because they're actually playing tomorrow on a Wednesday. They'll be playing as well this evening. We got big deal or no big deal, and it's a big day today on OMF. We're going to crown the champion of the worst take madness. Terry Bradshaw against Wiggy. And we will do that later on. But
so we are doing big deal, no big deal.
We are doing it.
Yes.
Unless you're,
okay,
unless you're parking right. out today.
Nope.
I love big deals.
Lou's birthday. So use that as an excuse and say, I can't do it. It's Lou's birthday.
I love doing big deal, no big deal. Yeah.
Hey,
I always
want
to do it.
Can we have Tommy Giles on as a guest today?
Why?
Why
do my boy
like,
Tommy Giles?
I feel like, well, we'll get to it later. Well, maybe he'll call in. Maybe we'll.
Because
I feel like we also need an apology of the day.
We have a little issue.
We need an apology of the day.
Coming up in the next hour. Maybe Lou's birthday, but we want some answers. Okay, we'll get to that in the next hour. So let's start with quarterback. Back as usual with this program. Why? Because there's another quarterback out there. So yesterday we reported Sam Darnold traded to the Carolina Panthers. He had a big party last night. Apparently he was celebrating that he's no longer a J-E-T as
a Jet. Did he, like a Paul Pierce
party last night?
Do you realize like now every time you hear about somebody having a party, you kind of gauge how cool or how crazy it was based on was it anything near as fun or crazy as Paul Pierce's party?
Yes.
And now will you potentially
Instagram
be fired because of it?
Yes, Instagram
so,
live.
So Sam Darnold had a big giant party because he's now a Carolina Panther.
Yeah. See, I think you can get away with a Paul Pierce party if you're an employee of the National
Pierce
Football League.
A PPP. It gives a new definition to PPP.
Right, exactly. So here's the deal. We're talking about this yesterday saying, so what are they going to do? Sam Darnold and Teddy Bridgewater, they're going to have competition? Apparently, no. Scott Fitterer, who is the general manager of the Panthers, sat down and talked with Teddy Bridgewater, and now Bridgewater is involved in the process of facilitating a trade. Ian Rappaport reporting today that the Panthers have given Bridgewater permission, go speak with other teams, see if you can work out a possible trade, and we will deal you off elsewhere. So we kick it off. Cam Newton is still the sitting quarterback here of the New England Patriots. If you're the Patriots,
yes.
Would you go after me finish the sentence. Not a game show.
What?
Would
yes.
you take Teddy Bridgewater?
Yes. And, you know, here's the issue, okay? I have felt good about my place in this world regarding Cam Newton. I had come to accept it. But the draft and all the way these teams are trading these quarterbacks and moving up and just a lot of movement, it shakes me. So you're probably made a good decision by not going to acceptance and just staying in denial. But yes, because I believe that anyone other than Cam Newton is better for this team. Anyone. I'm done with it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to like pat him on the back. I don't want to hear excuses. I don't want to hear people making excuses for him. I don't want it. I just want the guy to shut up and play football. Yeah, should I say shut up and dribble? No, because if it was basketball, I would do the same thing. I'm tired of just the excuses that are presented in order to defend this guy. Is he a good player? Yes, he's a good quality football player. But I still rather have Teddy Bridgewater. And he's got his own set of issues. So for me, I'm in. I don't know about you, Lou. It's maybe you're still stuck on moving up in the draft, which we can discuss how much difficult that's going to be.
Listen, I don't want Teddy Bridgewater. Like, I don't want to just kick the can down the road.
Kick it.
You have a good opportunity right now. There's a couple of quarterbacks that you have an opportunity to take. I don't know. It's not my job to tell me which one I like more. It's their job. They got an entire scouting department that gets paid to do it for a living. You identify Justin Fields or Trey Lance as the future, and you go and get one, whichever one you like. And if that's going to 4, so be it. 5, 6, 8, whatever. But Teddy Bridgewater does nothing for me. It's short-sighted. Is he better than Cam? Yeah. Is he good enough? No. The hell are you going to win with Teddy Bridgewater? Nothing.
You do have receivers now. You do have the best coach to ever do it. If you can win 7 games with Cam Newton as your quarterback, you can win more with Teddy Bridgewater.
He's a more accurate passer than Cam Newton. There's no question about it. You saw it with the 5 games last year with New Orleans, and you saw a little bit of it this year with Carolina. He is a more accurate passer than Cam Newton. But you're right, Lou. He's nothing to shout about. And I'm looking at the money. So it's a big dead cap hit because it's only the second year of the deal, his contract. And so it's a big hit for Carolina, $20 million. But the team that takes him on has to pick up the base salary, and that's $17 million.
Yeah, and next year's $20 million.
There's no way that Bill Belichick is giving anything away in the way of a trade to take on Teddy Bridgewater and then have to pay him $17 million with Cam Newton as your backup at 5? What are we talking about here? I just don't believe it's ever going to happen. Garoppolo is still the guy.
Oh,
that's
God,
what's
here you are.
Garoppolo's
still the guy.
Garoppolo's more money.
Garoppolo is more money unless, you know, you rework the deal.
Well, why wouldn't you rework the deal for Bridgewater then? Like, why is it okay to do one thing for for Garoppolo, but not for Bridgewater. Listen, I don't want either one of them, but you can't have one opinion that he would never do it because of the money with Bridgewater when Garoppolo's making more money.
Well, I already told you, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Bill tries to wait and see if Garoppolo just gets cut.
So maybe so.
And I think that's a possibility still. Everybody's writing it off, but you saw what Sam Darnold went for yesterday. What does anybody think Jimmy Garoppolo's going for, a third-round pick?
Well, I just think with Bridgewater, as you mentioned, 17 and 20. That's the base. That's what you pay. So, you know, the big cap is if you get cut. If they trade him, and this is over the cap, and they're pretty good with it. If they trade him pre-June, it's a $10 million cap hit. If they trade him post-June, it's a $5 million cap hit.
Correct.
So, you know, the cap hit might not, you know, you could wait this thing out and see what happens in the draft. Maybe you don't trade him now. Maybe you wait June 1st, which I think is late, but whatever. I just don't want, if they announce tomorrow they're going to trade and your quarterback room is Teddy Bridgewater and Cam Newton, I don't think that doesn't solve what I'm looking for, which is hope. Because next year, we're going to be sitting here the first week of April. I'm going to be 51, and they're still not going to have a freaking quarterback. They're still not. You're going to sit there and say, yeah, Bridgewater may be better than Cam, but he wasn't that good last year. They went 10-7. They were a fraudulent team, and he wasn't good enough. So what's the situation with the quarterback? And because you're 10-7, you're now picking 23rd or 21st or something like that. You're further away. It doesn't solve the issues for this organization moving forward. It makes you slightly better this year, maybe. You're still not good enough to do anything. Like, if Bridgewater's on this team, they're the AFC East champs.
So unless they make a significant move. So I guess ultimately your point is it's a lateral move.
Yes.
It's a lateral move.
It's a lateral
move. Okay, it's still a bridge quarterback. Is it still a bridge to nowhere?
It's a bridge to nowhere.
But now it's the Teddy Bridgewater bridge.
Yeah, just you give it's up a,
well, what a perfect
give up
name.
A, maybe you give up a perfect fourth name. Round pick. Like, it's just a bridge to nowhere. Like, it's just
the Teddy Bridgewater
what is
bridge
the answer?
To nowhere.
Like, Teddy Bridgewater? Like, you know what? Screw it. Go get Teddy Bridgewater and find out when a year from now when we're screaming he wasn't good enough and that you really need to dive in. You really got to try to find that next young guy. We'll just keep pushing it along. Keep thinking mediocre quarterback plays enough, and it's not.
I don't think they're going for Teddy Bridgewater. I wouldn't be shocked, but anything could happen right now. But I would be surprised if they went for Teddy Bridgewater. On the other hand, Denver might be a team
good
that would go for Teddy Bridgewater.
Perfect.
Because they tried to apparently trade for him a couple of months ago. And there's another team now that it's been leaked out that they are willing to give up their high first-round pick. So is New England now in a better position to move up and finally fulfill birthday boy's dream?
Thank you.
We'll get to all of that coming up next right here on OMF. Alex Gore at the bottom of the hour.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, it's Greg Hill. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need fast and start the job your way. With their free next day delivery, you don't even have to leave your home. And with free same day store pickup, you can get in and out.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Does it feel like finding clothes in your fit is impossible? Tired of feeling overwhelmed with options that just aren't right? Let the experts at Stitch Fix do the shopping for you. At Stitch Fix, we make sure each piece is hand-selected for your life. So whether you're staying home or on the go, Stitch Fix has the answer for what to wear. We make it easy to find what works for you. Signing up takes just a few minutes, and styles are delivered directly to your door. Get started today at StitchFix.com. Stitch Fix, your style delivered.
Ordway, Merlone, Fourier, back to OMF on EEI.
Alex Cora coming up at 2:30. Thank God they won a game last night. I don't want a depressed manager on the air, but we'll talk to him today. They're 1-3 as they play Tampa Bay again this evening. We just told you about Teddy Bridgewater. Yeah. Apparently, Carolina's going to deal him away. And there are a couple of other developments here in the National Football League. And how about this one from Adam Schefter talking about the Atlanta Falcons? With teams locked into the first 3 overall picks, the Atlanta Falcons now have received trade calls from multiple teams and are open to moving out of the number 4 spot, per source. That's not opinion. That's the reporter with a source. Are the Patriots one of those teams?
I would say they definitely are one of those teams. Whether they liked what they heard from Atlanta about what it was going to take to do it, but we've heard them, you know, they actually called on guys, you know, in different trades. What was it, the Stafford deal? They made a call on, I think, our boy Jeff Howe said they made calls on everybody. So I don't know why they wouldn't call on 4 just to see if anything else, even if they're not interested, which I hope they are, to see what it would take, right? So I would think they would. I just don't know if they like the answer or not, or if they're willing to give up what it takes.
Yeah, because, I think there's going to be... Well, I still believe the Carolina Panthers are going to draft a quarterback. Like, now that Teddy Bridgewater is gone.
I agree.
And I think that if they believe – see, here's the thing, if you're Carolina. Are you nervous about somebody moving up to take that spot? Like, or teams that don't need quarterbacks, okay, that aren't Atlanta, that are in front of you. Cincinnati, Miami, Detroit. Those are 3 teams that can sit there and work with you. But
well,
Carolina
isn't Detroit
and Atlanta,
the same boat that Carolina would be in?
Is Detroit in the same boat?
Yeah, I mean, Goff and Darnold. I mean, if Carolina is still interested in a quarterback in the draft, shouldn't Detroit?
I would say based on what they gave up and all the trades, they have their quarterback, in my opinion, for the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, I think the same thing with Carolina.
I'm not sure.
With Sam Darnold?
Yeah, I think both teams traded for these guys thinking that, okay, I know where
he's
we are in the draft.
He's got 2 years left on a rookie deal.
It's just
and
like,
really one.
Yeah, build the roster around him. I don't know. We'll
I don't see. Trust it. I don't trust it. To me, that
well,
screams.
It could have
of,
everything to do with Trey Lance if a team's looking at him, and they may look at him and say he's at least 2 years away. And so, who's our bridge? Sam Darnold will be our bridge, and maybe he turns out to be really good with us, and then we can deal away Trey Lance or whatever. But I think Carolina. I agree with Christian, and you're hearing some of that now. That Carolina is still interested in getting a quarterback. Does Carolina have to move up to Atlanta? And that's not that much of a move. That's 4 positions. Do they have to move up to guarantee that they get their guy? And what does that mean for the Patriots? Because, oh yeah, Denver still is looking for a quarterback.
Yeah,
and
see,
what if Detroit wants a quarterback?
I'm thinking that, like, if you're Atlanta, you're in the same division as the Carolina Panthers. You're not trading with them. You're not trading with, you're not doing them any favor.
Yeah,
so
you're right
if you're
there.
Carolina, like, Atlanta's not giving you the opportunity to sign a, you know, franchise quarterback that they're going to have to face. They're not going to do it. They would probably work with any other, they would work with any AFC team, they would work with the Patriots. So if you're Carolina, your best hope is to get to Cincinnati, who does not need a quarterback.
See, that's why I think the draft is fascinating, probably more so than we've ever seen, because of the quarterback movement that we've seen in the league, the fact that there's five quarterbacks that everybody projects that could very well go 1 through 5, who the hell knows. But you've got, like, it didn't surprise me at all that people are calling Atlanta, and it's just a matter of time before we find out people are calling Cincy. And it's just a matter of time before we find out people are calling Miami. I mean, if you are, if people think that it could be like five quarterbacks deep and you're Cincinnati and you're sitting there saying, yeah, we could pick maybe the left tackle, that kid Sewell, you know, and be the left tackle for Burrow forever. Or we can get Chase and have the wide receiver that he had in LSU, you know, or whatever. Well, I don't know, maybe we could slide down and maybe still get one of them if it's going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We could go from, you know, 8 to 5 or 5 to 8 or 5 to 7, whatever, maybe still get the guy that we want. So the fact that Atlanta's taking calls, I would think you're going to hear the same thing about Cincy, about Detroit, about Miami, maybe even Carolina. Like, it's just, it's, you're going to hear this for the next 3 weeks. Everyone's going to be thinking of trading out because people want these quarterbacks.
I hate to say it. I don't think any of this is good for the New England Patriots if they want to move up and grab that quarterback. I think it's going to be too difficult for them to do it now. Far too difficult.
Well, too pricey, too.
Yes.
No. I think it's too pricey. If you have to get to 4, I don't think that's an area they want. I don't think they want to live in that area code. I just don't. I think it's, I don't know what eventually it would be, but
three first-round draft picks. So this year,
swap it.
They're not going to do it.
And two more.
Swap it and two more. So two additional firsts.
Yeah.
Fine. To get the quarterback you need? The quarterback you want?
You'd have to love the guy. You'd have to be there.
I'm not saying you draft the guy because you hate him. Well, I'm not saying you're sitting there saying, we need a quarterback. We're going to take whatever's left over.
Well, the problem is you're down to 2.
We don't think Trey Lance is going to be any good. I don't care. Draft him? No one's saying that.
But, Lou, you're down to 2. It's not like you get the choice of the first 3. You get 4 and 5. You're going to move all the way up to get 4 and 5. What do you think the chances are that they're in love with 4 and 5 and think that they're better than 1, 2, and 3?
See, I would agree with you on that point because let's just say you're sitting at, you want to get to 4, but you know the first 3 picks are going to be left tackle, defensive end, receiver, something crazy like running back, a Saquon Barkley type. So you don't have to worry about it.
You get the second
there's
best
so many quarterback needy teams and so many quarterbacks that are in play. Like, you better love them. Well, I don't think you're going to love the 4th guy.
I don't know.
Like, what are the odds of them loving, out of the 5 guys, the top 5 guys, the 4th guy is the one they really wanted all along? And if that's the case, wait for him to fall back to you.
Right.
Wait for him, because nobody else probably feels that way. If you're the only person that feels like he's the 4th best in the entire draft.
Let's say that a lot of teams are a little bit timid about Lance, mainly because they haven't seen enough of him. Okay, so, and he hasn't had great competition, so they're looking at it. But he's the type of guy, you're right, Christian, that could fall down because teams are sitting there as they get up to the to their chance on the clock, and they're sitting there going, oh, God, he's 20 years old, 21. Do we really want to do this right now? Oh, this is so risky. No, let's take the safe pick. And there could be a run of other players, and he's the type of guy that could drop. But that's what New England's problem is right now. Top 4 picks. But if Atlanta deals that pick away, Lou, it's going to be for a quarterback. And so 1, 2, 3, and 4, you're going to get quarterbacks.
Listen,
then New England's
I get it,
got a chance at number 5.
All I'm saying is that, like, you know, their evaluation process. I mean, if Buffalo had that thought process, they wouldn't have said, well, he's the 4th best quarterback taken. I mean, we don't want Josh Allen, do we? Like, what are the chances of him being better than the other 3? You know, well, okay. I think they did pretty well. Or Baltimore. What are the chances of Lamar Jackson? He's the 5th quarterback taken. Is he going to be any good? I think he's turned out to be pretty good, too. So even though the guy they move up might be Trey Lance, we don't know. They might have had him second on the board.
They might have him second on the board. As Christian said, what are the chances
of them having
him number 2 on the board?
So it's like they're not taking the 5th guy. They're taking what they think is the 2nd guy or the 3rd guy.
Yeah, they may look at the kid Mills from Stanford and think he's just as good as the 5th guy in the draft. Or the other kid, Munn, they may look at those 2 guys and say, you know what, we can get them later on, and they're just as good, if not better, than that number 5 pick. I think the fact that we're going to see 4 quarterbacks go off the board, 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5 is probably going to be shortly after that. I think, I hate to say it, Lou, it's your birthday, and I hate to ruin your birthday. I think there's very little chance New England does that.
I mean, people have been saying that for months. So we'll see in about a couple of weeks. And I'm going to be excited.
Said,
and it's going to be a late birthday. Thank you, Bill.
They love Jarrett Stidham.
Oh, and they love him.
And they were wrong about everything. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to be wrong about everything. So,
well, we were all wrong about Cam Newton coming back and being the quarterback of this team to this point, right? still is the quarterback last time I checked. Mm-hmm. And we all said there is no way he's coming back as the quarterback of this team. And they didn't even wait. Matter of fact, we sat here and said he's going to be desperate because no team is going to take him. And so it could, you know, what do the Patriots have to do?
Nope. I don't know, man.
Nope. Right out of the gate, they went and made sure that they locked up Cam Newton, albeit really, really cheap. Red Sox won a game last night after dropping three this weekend against Baltimore. We sit down with our first weekly get-together with the manager of the Red Sox, Alex Cora. It's coming up next right here on OMF.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Get social. Facebook.com/WEEI and WEEI Sports on Instagram. Now more of OMF on EEI.
Three, two, and a drive down the right field line toward the pesky pole. Long runner is Arena, and it hits the pole. Three-run homer. J.D. Martinez hits the pesky pole, and the Red Sox lead it 11-2.
I would say through four games, that's been the least surprising development with the Red Sox. I mean, I think everybody figured that J.D. Martinez, who apparently didn't take last year seriously enough and admitted it, is taking this year seriously, and we know how good a hitter he is. And so I don't think anybody's surprised that he's hitting the cover off the ball. You?
Well, it's good to see. You don't think there was a lot of question marks given what we saw last year?
And spring training,
he wasn't sharp at all. I felt like he was just too good of a hitter for it not to happen.
Yeah.
But to say that there were no questions or concerns, I think there might have been a little bit. You just wanted to see it. You know, he and Bogey last night. Now that was actually, I can tell you, I sat down and watched that game last night. It was like the most enjoyable game I've watched in 2 years because I didn't really like watching any of them last year. And I didn't like watching the weekend.
Well, to me, this is a bridge. Okay, this is a bridge year.
Needed that.
And you're really just kind of, you know, looking out the window going, okay, when are we going to get to dry land? When are we going to get to the other side of this?
That's what it was. It was like kind of loosen up the you-know-what holes.
Yeah.
You know, and just everybody get a couple of hits, and except for Devers, which we'll probably get to. But everybody get a couple hits, and it's just like, you know, you can't come out after a three-game weekend getting swept, tell everybody to relax, and get smoked last night. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
But when you tell everybody to relax and you win that game last night the way you did, now you can sort of sit there and say, okay, see, let's relax. We're going to be okay. Although Glasnow tonight will be tough.
It's only three games, guys. Really, three games.
We said this yesterday, though, that the two toughest games are the next two. That yesterday's game was, last night's game was the one that you should have an opportunity to win. I think the positive in this through four games is the starting pitching, with the exception of one game, has been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something I think that you look at because we all thought this team would hit. But the pitching, the starting pitching was a real question mark. And with the exception of Sunday's game, the blowout early on, starting pitching has been pretty good.
Yeah, and hopefully Pivetta kind of continues it because I think he's a guy you could like. You know, he had a lot of Porcello in him, not just in his wind-up delivery. You respected him. He took the ball every fifth day. He had a little fire, you know, and you saw that. And, you know, fastball command wasn't perfect, but he made big pitches when he needed to, and he kind of came up big for them.
All right, Alex Cora, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network or Bella Insurance, and Zenny, the official eyewear of the Boston Red Sox, major league style, at minor league prices. Visit Zenny Sportsonline.com. As you remember, a couple years ago, he was a regular every Wednesday. He'll be with us every Wednesday. We're doing it on Tuesday because of a Wednesday game.
Got some day games.
I don't know what happened last year, but he's back with us this year.
He's Alex back,
baby. Alex joins us live right now on the Arbella Hotline. Hello, Alex.
What's going on?
Ooh, how are you?
Look how clear you sound, too. Wow.
Boy. Styling.
Yeah, spent some money on you.
How are you doing?
Professional.
All right. You finally won a game last night, so everybody is thrilled with that. Let me.
Everybody can relax.
Let me start with Rafael Devers, because we've seen this guy be very good on the field. We've seen him be very bad on the field. He probably should have about three errors right now, and he doesn't. He's a guy that has mentioned you as a guy who's been a great mentor in, you know, developing him as a player. Is this all in his head, Alex? And what can you do about it?
I don't know. It's funny because everybody feels like he doesn't want to make plays. Everybody feels like he doesn't have range. And early in the season, it's the other way around. He wants to make every play. He's showing his range. So it's just about making decisions, right? And he needs to understand that there's a guy right next to him that, you know, Xander Bogaerts, and because you can't get to the ball, it doesn't mean that you have to go for it. So it's just about decisions. The thing here is, how can you tell a player not to go for the ball? You know what I mean? Because then if you tell him, don't be aggressive, don't go for it, then we'll have a third baseman that will be gun shy as far as like, okay, is it one step and that's it, or should I go farther? So it's constant communication, constant work. You know, nobody's talking about the play he made yesterday in the hole from shortstop, right? Because he made that play. And he should make that play because he's a big leaguer. You know, everybody focus on the negative, the almost error, or the play that he didn't make. But, you know, I just keep staying on top of him. You know, it's not lack of work. Like I said a few days ago, if somebody feels the other way around, come here early and see him put in work. And I do believe he can play third base at this level. He has good feet. He got good range. He has a good arm. You know, the decisions lately, even at the end of spring training, they haven't been sound. You know, he's been very aggressive. And it's the fact that he wants to make plays. So in that end, you know, we keep pushing him to be smart about the play. Sometimes you don't have to throw it, you know, move on to the next one. And that's what we're preaching right now.
Does he get down on himself?
Very, very. He, you know, I hit 230 at the big league level. So I took my bat a lot to defense, you know. And although I was a good defensive player, I was sometimes, you know, took a few plays off because I was thinking about my swing, how, you know, the grind of swinging a bat and put it at bats and not being able to produce. With Rafi, it's the other way around. Rafi, you know, he makes an error, and it's hard for him to turn the page, and especially when he makes an error and they score in that inning. We saw it in Chicago in 2019, which actually I thought it was a game changer. He made an error in the bottom of the ninth, and Brazier gives off a home run. It was a walk-off, and it was hard for Rafi that night and the next day. And then from there on, he was a good defender. But with him, it takes him a while, and that's part of the – you know, player development and you know, the player growing up. And something people forget, you know, when Rafi Devers got to the big leagues, I ask you the question, was he ready to be a big leaguer at that time? I think no, but at the time that he got called up, the team needed him offensively. So that's part of the things that you as an organization have to decide, you know. At that time, defensively, was he ready to play at the big league level? You guys probably will say no, right? But offensively, he was ready. And at that time, they needed offense. It's like pitching too, right? Like, okay, they send guys down because it's not because we want to. It's because we want them to develop, you know, and become the full package. And I think him missing that part of his process and learning how to play defense at the big league level has been harder for him than other players. That's the way I see it.
And Alex, yeah, he's still a young player in this league, and obviously the discussion turns into you got Dahlbeck at first. He's played some third. Is there any thought at all? Is it too soon to say, hey, go to first, catch the baseball, and just hit? That's what we need you to do. Make that move?
But at the same time, is it smart that we have our first baseman who hasn't played that much first base, that we need at first base? We need him at first base also, just to stop playing him there, moving to the other side of the field, and just put somebody there. You saw what happened yesterday with the Rays at first base. A routine ground ball to first, contact play, we score one run. So it's not just go to first base and catch the ball. You know, with the shift, we put the first baseman almost at second base. This is not the 80s. This is not the 90s. You know, it's a different position at first base. It's a hard position. So it's still defense, and you got to be ready. And to learn a position at the big league level with expectations, I don't know, man. It's not that easy. I know people think it's just moving there, do this, do that. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way at this level.
Hey, let me ask you about Erod. Any updates as far as maybe what you know timing-wise? Is he back in this rotation at some point?
Yeah, he's ready. Most likely he'll pitch in Baltimore. He went through his progress yesterday. He threw a bullpen. Everything looks fine, so most likely he'll come out of the IL, in Baltimore.
What does that mean for Tanner Houck? Because he was outstanding. Is it out of that rotation? Is he down in Worcester? How does it work with him? Or is he pitched so well that you just find a spot for him, long relief out of that bullpen?
I don't know, man. I think, you know, we had a plan coming into the season, right? And probably we'll stick to our plan. And we got five starters at the big league level that we feel confident. And, you know, it's something that we'll talk about it. You know, he'll be in the bullpen today because we're short. Actually, there's a few guys down. We'll have him there, and then, you know, we'll make decisions in the upcoming days.
So, but does he stay in this rotation Thursday? Because I know you guys play like 18 games in 19 days. Is it like a six-man one time through to just to get some arms?
No, we're not going to go to a six-man rotation right now.
So he's out Thursday, or you haven't made that decision yet?
We haven't made decisions. He's going to be in the bullpen today.
Okay.
All right, we're talking to Alex Cora, manager of the Red Sox. So as far as your outfield goes, a lot of movement going on out there. You had four games so far. Four different outfield alignments and five different outfielders. So I'm just curious, was that just those first four games just a way to kind of get everybody some playing time, get their feet wet, or is this kind of the way you see things going long-term?
Long-term. We're going to be moving guys. Enrique, he'll play center field. He'll play left. He'll play second. Alex can play the three of them. Hunter can play center and right. Franchi will keep him in left field. And then Marwin, when he's not playing the infield, he played left field. This is more about who we're facing. You know, lefty, righty, fastballs up, fastball down. You know, we'll make adjustments lineup-wise, depending on who's on the mound, who we're facing. And one thing for sure, defensively, we're strong regardless of the alignment. You know, Enrique, he's one of the best defenders, you know, I see him. This guy, you know, you put him at seconds, he's above average. At short, he's solid. In the outfield, he's above average. And the same thing with Marwin in left field. So we're very comfortable with the way we're moving the outfielders on a daily basis.
So it's funny that you mentioned Cordero, you know, because I actually heard you say that Cordero, you know, being so big, athletic, and handsome, I think you said that also, could play tight end for the Patriots. Well, listen, Alex, I actually played tight end for the Patriots. So does that mean I can play left field for the Red Sox? I feel like that's an easy swap. Actually, I play left field.
I can play the ball off the wall. No. You stay behind the mic.
This is the way it works.
Keep asking questions and, you know, nah, come on, you know, do that, you know. Like, do that one. Come on, man, you know, do that one. And it's six of sports, you know. Just stay behind the microphone.
That's a soft spot right there. You made the tight end position. It's a soft spot. Let me ask you about Garrett Richards. And everybody talks about the spin rate and analytics. And even at his age, and, you know, he's had some physical difficulties over the last few years, that he should be maybe a top-of-the-rotation guy. What is the issue here? We saw it with some wildness in spring training, and then we certainly watched the outing the other day. What is the issue here?
I do believe he finished strong in spring training. Obviously, there were a few things that happened towards the end that, you know, we had to make adjustments as far as, like, the schedule and pitching in spring training. But I think against Baltimore, the slider wasn't there. And at this level, it's very hard to pitch with one pitch. He didn't have a feel for the slider, and he became a one-pitch pitcher, and they put some good swings. They went the other way with it, the lefties. It was a good game plan. You see Rio and Santander and Mullins, they took sliders and fastballs away, going the other way, and he just got beat. It's one of those that you'll have over the course of 30 starts or 28 starts. You have those, but it just happened that he was in the first one. But as far as everything else, when you start looking at the stuff and the way the numbers were as far as, like, his fastball and his slider, we feel comfortable with it. He's healthy, which is important, and he'll get the ball. I think it's Saturday, right? Saturday or Sunday? He'll pitch in Baltimore. So he has a chance to go out there and give us a quality start.
Hey, Alex, a lot of talk. Like, the bottom three guys, bottom four guys, there's a lot of power there. There's some swing and miss. And I was just curious with Vasquez. I know opening day you had him eighth. He's at seventh, sixth. Is it kind of you placing him down there to make sure you've got some contact, on a given day to make, because he obviously puts the ball in play a lot?
The way we did in spring training, it was him hitting behind Hunter. Just switch it, he stay on pitches on Sunday, he hit the ball the other way, and I felt like where we at right now, that's needed. We need the little things offensively. We need guys to set the table for the big boys, right? And it worked yesterday. He hit a ground ball to right field, and he got us going. Marwin hit a ground ball. They don't turn the little play. Then Hunter hit a fly ball. We advance, and then Franchi, he gets jammed and hits the wall. So I think Christian can hit from the two spot all the way to the A spot. All depends where we at offensively. He is that good. I know he hit a few home runs 2 years ago, but you saw him yesterday. He was able to stay on pitch, just go the other way, and he's so good at handling the bat, that whenever I feel like there's need to make contact behind the big boys up there, we'll hit him there.
So JD Martinez, obviously, it looks like he's his old self again. Any doubt that he would kind of reclaim like his ability to play so well this early? Especially, it wasn't like he had a tremendous spring, or maybe we make too much out of spring training.
I do believe people were making too much out of spring training. It's eye-opening that he was able to work on his mechanics while he was competing at that level. He just kept swinging, and people were getting worried. But he was working on a few things. When he started swinging strikes or actually competing, like, okay, here we go, I feel good about my swing, this is what I want to do, you saw the difference towards the end. And he's still a small sample size, right? Like last year, everybody talks about a bad season. I don't see it that way. I just see that, it was a bad 60-game stretch, right? And he was 1 month away from hitting 10 home runs, and everybody will be like, oh, he's back. He was okay. But, yeah, the season count. And right now it's only 4 games. So the same way people were down last year, well, people are getting excited now. So I don't know. It just, he's in a good place. He worked hard in the offseason on a few things. He recognized that he wasn't ready, right? He said it. He recognized that he needed to make adjustments. And the fact that he hit that home run straight center 2 days ago and a pitch down in the zone, that was eye-opening. And he feels good about where he's at. And I like the fact that he's going to be hitting third. He has Xander behind, so he might get more pitches to hit. And let's see where he takes us.
We're talking to Alex Cora, 4,530 fans over at Fenway Park. What is it like to hear every single thing that every one of them says?
It's cool on opening day when they announced me, but it was tough the other day when we gave up 10 or whatever it was in the first third of the game.
The you suck call.
This is something you learn in winter ball, right? In winter ball, there's some big games and you get 10,000 people, 12,000 people. But early on in winter ball, there's like 350 fans or 500. And, in Dominican, they drink Presidente. In Puerto Rico, they drink medallas. And, boy, by the fifth inning, You know, you wave at your family, you're like, just go home because this is going to be nasty, you know. You 0 for 3 with an error. The people drinking medallas in Puerto Rico, they'll let you know how bad you are. So I'm used to that.
Hey, Alex, I know early in the year, people are kind of trying to figure out this, whether the ball's dead or not. And I think it's impossible at Fenway, especially in April, because balls don't carry to right center or get to that wall when they should. But have you guys noticed a difference yet, or is it one of those things you got to wait a while before you maybe see it?
I do believe we have to wait a while because of the conditions here. I'm actually not sure how he's playing around the league. You know, I haven't seen too many home run highlights, right? Like in the past. I might be wrong, or I might be, you know, we don't have cable at the house yet. Probably that's the case, you know. But there were a few balls that we thought were going to go off the wall. I think Alex, two by Alex, their kid Hayes from Baltimore, he hit one that he crushed right to left center, and it was it didn't get to the warning track. But I'm not sure if it's the baseball or the conditions. Probably when we come back from Minnesota in that long homestand, we'll have a better idea. Yeah.
We're looking forward to talking with you every week. I don't know what next week is going to take with all of the day games.
Day games, yeah.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But it's great having you back.
We always figure it out, man. Yeah, come on, man. Let's go.
Exactly. And, you know, tight end is an important position in football. It really is.
It's not that easy. Right, I'll tell you what. French is very important for us, too. By the way, the other guy that can play, I do believe he's a great athlete, and people don't talk often about him, Hunter Renfro. He's a good athlete. Well, I think he played football. You know what? I'm going to ask Hunter if he played tight end in high school.
No. Well, listen, for the record, though, when we heard that because there is a receiver in the NFL, I think he plays for the Raiders, went to Clemson. His name is Hunter Renfro.
Same. Yeah.
Different spelling of the last
Christian,
name.
Christian
different
spelling, right? Christian thought you guys signed a football player to play right field for you
excited.
In the offseason.
You thought you finally signed an athlete.
Yeah,
it's about
like,
time.
Finally.
All right, Alex, we'll talk to you. Good luck.
Okay, be well. Talk
See
to you.
Later.
All right, later.
This hour of OMF brought to you by Kubota Tractor and F&W Equipment in Orange, Connecticut.